quote from Quintius Cornelius Benignus almost 2,000 years ago as he wrote those words in Latin. A Roman soldier who had been there, seen Jesus, was there when he ascended back to the Father. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Father, I ask now your anointing upon me, Father, as I bring the word. And Father, implant the words in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit today as we deliver them. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. We don't go to the cemetery to find the living. We go to the cemetery to find the dead. Resurrection. It's about life. It's about living. He is not dead, but risen. Alive. Alive forevermore. But do we really understand the significance of what occurred? Do we really comprehend what all took place during that brief period of time? Did you ever wonder why Jesus had to go through the agony, the pain, the abuse that he had to go through? Here he is, Jesus Christ, Son of God, ruler of the universe. And here he is standing on planet Earth, having spent 33 years in a fleshly body, just like us. And I'm sure that during that time, because it was a fleshly body, that he experienced some problems in that body that we don't particularly read about in the Bible. But he had a fleshly body. And there were times that he may have had the sniffles. He may have had some other problems. He was growing up as a normal child. Grew into adulthood, and we don't have a lot of record of his life during that time. But he probably went through many of the same things that our kids go through and we went through as kids, as a normal human child would go through. And the time has come that he has now begun to fulfill the ministry that his Father has called him to, sent him here for, to fulfill the purpose for which he was born in fleshly body. And for 3 years, he preaches to the people. He brings healing to the sick, sight to the blind, unstopping deaf ears, yes, even raising the dead, not just once, but twice. Casting out devils, bringing deliverance, Satan himself had tried, as Jesus had begun his ministry and was led out into the wilderness and said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself off this pinnacle. You won't get hurt. You've got all these angels that will take care of you. Jesus had at his disposal all the resources of heaven. Had he so desired. But yet, he went through these things. And not necessarily in any particular order, but first, the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Bible tells us he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, as he agonized. Luke 22:44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Can you imagine such agony going on? Do you know, when you get under stress, sometimes you start to perspire. You know, I experienced that a couple of times this week, especially when some guy made a left turn in front of me on a busy street. By the time that car was stopped, I was sweating. And I'll tell you, we missed each other by about a foot. Agonizing. He's praying there, Father, not my will, but yours be done. That human body, that fleshly body didn't want to go through what it knew it was going to have to face. But Father, not my will, but your will be done. And those 12 that he had entrusted so much to were yet over to the side, not in prayer, but asleep. Father, not my will, but your will be done. The agony of it there. And then as he gets up from prayer, rejoins his disciples, there's the commotion, and he's taken prisoner. And he's escorted before Herod. Luke 23, verse 11, it says, and Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him to Pilate. You see, he was humiliated. Herod knew that Herod didn't have the authority to do what Herod wanted to do. So all he could do at that point was mock him, ridicule him, make fun of him, and then send him on to somebody else. There are times in our walk as a Christian that we go through times in our life when people ridicule us. Maybe they make fun of us because of what we believe in. But take heart, if Jesus could take it, and he lives in us, we've got such an advocate, I'll tell you, that's watching out for us. He knows what it's like to be ridiculed for it. He was humiliated. It goes on and gives a little more description in some other places how they plucked at his beard and slapped him. The things that they could do and get away with. So he's humiliated. He's beaten. and crowned with thorns. Beaten to the maximum allowed by Roman law. Beaten to the point that some men would not have survived. Flesh ripped from his back. Blood splattering, not just oozing, splattering as the whip is lashed and it comes back with that sharp report and pieces of flesh and blood come back with it. And it splatters. Possibly even on some of those who are welding the whip. And there are those that come and they place a crown of thorns upon his head. And not just some little thorn like we see on a rose bush, but I'm talking thorns maybe 4 to 6 inches long. And they weave that crown of thorns and they don't place it gently on his head. But they force it down on his head. Blood begins to ooze out of his scalp. Excruciating pain as those thorns are stuck and he can't take them loose. The agony of it, the pain, the suffering, the humiliation. John 19, 1 and 2 says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him," or had him beaten or flogged. "And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe." A purple robe signifying royalty, because they were mocking him. "Here he is, this man, Jesus. He's the King of the Jews. Look at your king in his purple robe. Look at your king with his crown upon his head." As they mocked him and did everything again that they could do and get away with. Then Matthew 27, it tells us, he's led out in verse 33, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha," that is to say a place of a skull, "they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." So they take him out to a place called Golgotha, and there he is crucified Roman style upon a cross. Arms outstretched as nails are driven into his hands. Nails driven through his feet. One of the most cruel and painful ways that mankind has thought of to take the life of another human being. Because not only with the agony that they're going through, you see, crucifixion is not merciful and quick. It's a painful, agonizing death and sometimes lasted for days. They had a little footstool thing that you see in the pictures of the crucifixion. And that was because as they hung there, they get to where they couldn't breathe, and they would try to force themselves back up by putting some pressure on their legs. And they could breathe a little bit more, and they'd last a little bit longer. And it could take days for them to die this horrible death. Then John 13, verse 31, it says, "And the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day." And I want to stop there just a minute. I know if we stop, and I've seen some articles about this recently too, if we stop and we count, if we say Jesus was crucified on Friday and he rose again on Sunday morning, that's a hard time counting 3 days, 3 nights in the grave. But we go because of the fact that Saturday was the Sabbath. But it says it was a high Sabbath. It was a holiday coming at the end of Passover, which this particular year, Passover on the Jewish calendar is not celebrated till almost a month from now. And you'll find that Orthodox Easter is celebrated on the Sunday at the end of Passover. And that's kind of what it was. It was the end of Passover. It was the high celebration, the high Sabbath that they were getting ready to celebrate. And we can't have him on the cross out there on the high Sabbath. So the soldiers were sent out, and they besought Pilate break their legs that they might be taken away. Why break their legs? They could no longer... No, they no longer could put the pressure on their legs then to lift themselves back up to relieve the pressure on their lungs. So they suffocated quickly. In verse 32, "And then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one soldier with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw that it, and he that saw it bare record, and this record is true, that he knoweth that he saith truth, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look upon him whom they pierced." The agony of it. Some of you folks here, some folks that may listen to this later, have gone through some agony in your life. Some mental, emotional agony. Some of it physical agony that's almost beyond belief. But Jesus went through so much. He went through so much. And I said, do we really comprehend? Do we really understand why he had to go through all of this? You see, the requirement for forgiveness of sin was blood shed upon the altar. The shedding of blood. He could have shed his blood without having to have gone through all of this. There could have been an easier way. So there had to be a reason why he had to go through all of this. And I'll be honest, I'd not really ever thought about that aspect of it. And I don't know that I've heard anybody ever preach as to why it all had to be that way. This past week, as I said, I had gotten an email last weekend that my cousin's husband had passed away, and I knew it was a sorrowful time for her this week, but yet she knew he was with the Lord. And then Thursday morning, I got another phone call, this time from Mary's sister, informing us that Mary's aunt, who is only about 2 years older than me, had passed away just about 2 hours earlier from complications of Lou Gehrig's disease. And Mary and I have a lot of feelings regarding families with Lou Gehrig's disease, because my father died from complications of Lou Gehrig's disease. Her mom died from Lou Gehrig's disease, and now her mom's third youngest sister dies from Lou Gehrig's disease. We have a lady on our prayer list, Marcy Payne, up in Franklin, Tennessee, who has Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. About 40 years of age, a young son had just started college, and a teenage daughter. And I've corresponded with her husband, Ron, a few times because of this. And so I sent him an email to ask him a question about had he heard anything about any possible connection family-wise, because here's two sisters in Mary's family that have died from this disease. And he emailed back, but in the process, though, I had to look up his email address again. And so I went on their website. As I'm looking on the website, here's a say, you need prayer? Click here, send us your prayer request. Marcy will pray for you. And I thought, I was almost reduced to tears, I'll be honest. Here is a lady, and I don't know how far along she is in the stages of this disease. And I know the treatment has progressed a little bit. What they do is they just prolong things a little bit longer. But here is a disease that takes your body and renders it useless. Your mind, you, the real you, is trapped in there and can't get out. It's like being locked in a cage and nobody can hear you when you scream. And I thought, here's a woman that's living a slow, agonizing death. And yet she's saying, you got a problem? Send me a request. I'll pray for you. Concerned about other people's needs. And as I thought about that, I thought, but then there's resurrection. She's trapped in a body that's become like a tomb in itself, that she has no control over. But the day is coming that resurrection will take place. And the real person, the real Marcy, will break forth out of that. Come forth into new life. And the same for each one of us. We may go down to the grave, but the day is coming we're going to break forth in new life.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Why did Jesus go all through all of this? He went through it for us. So He knows. You know, sometimes we got problems going on in our life. We'll say, nobody, you know, that old song, nobody knows the sorrow I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I'm in. Nobody knows. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows no matter what the problem, no matter what the pain, no matter what the hurt, no matter what the difficulty, He knows what you're going through. Jesus, the Son of God. But He didn't come here arrayed in royalty, flaunting about His status. But He came here, was born in a manger of humble earthly parents. Grew up the same way we did. He didn't get any special treatment in school. He didn't get any special treatment because of this, that, or the other. Everything was handed to him the same way it was to anybody else. Because he knows what we're going through. Isaiah 53:5 tells us, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." I want to read this one more time in the Jewish Bible. "But he was wounded because of our crimes. Crushed because of our sins." The disciplining that makes us whole fell on him. And by his bruises, we are healed. Our crimes, our sins, our rebellion against God is why he went through it. And it could have been so easy just to say, "Hey, these folks are going to get what they deserved." But he says, "No. My love for them is too great. And I'm going to do what it takes." And today, he is our risen Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Paul writes, this is no figment of somebody's imagination that he rose from the dead, but he was seen, and he gives names, he names names. He was seen of above 500 people. 500 people at one time witnessed him being there. And I know there are some people who have said, "Oh, well, it was just mass hallucination or mass hysteria." I'll tell you, folks, it's hard to pull that off on that many people. And first of all, that's one type of mass hysteria you wouldn't want to be admitting to because of the circumstances at the time. Just like the soldiers who were guarding the tomb, why in the world would they want to go say, "Hey, this happened. He's gone." Man, that was a death sentence. They had just admitted dereliction of duty, and they were, by law, condemned to die. And why would they be paid off and sent away? No, it was the other side that was being deceitful and lying about it. He was seen by multitudes of witnesses that he had risen from the dead. He did it to give us life abundant. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He came to give us abundant life. Abundant life. That is why Jesus suffered, agonized, went through the humiliation, the torture, the pain, the agony, and gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Not because he thought it'd be a fun thing to do, but because you were important to him. You, each one of us here, you, Whether you're important to anybody else or not, you're important to Him. You're important to God. And Father, right now I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that Your blessings would be upon each one that is present here today. And Father, that You would speak to hearts that are here, Lord. Father, help them to know, Father, Your love, Your mercy. And I give You praise, and I give You glory, and I give You honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.